so glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
Truly Pentecostals saying, well, if you really had faith, you wouldn't have any trouble. Well, let me just help you. You're an idiot. Just go and get that record out there. If you need to email me at Pastor Justin at Crystal River. See ya. Because life happens, and what some people want to do is just speak to the problem, and you need to, but don't do anything else around the problem to fix the problem. We just want to speak about it if you're charismatic, and then if you're Pentecostal, we just want to speak tongues to it. And you pray in tongues over your children when they come in late off of curfew, that does them no good. If you speak in tongues when you're getting trouble on the job, that does you no good. Matter of fact, if you do that, quit it. You're making us look bad. Death is a mountain. Sickness is a mountain. Trouble are mountains. Hardships are mountains. Family crises are mountains. Scott Peck, in his book, The Road Less Traveled, says, life's a problem. Now, man, I don't want to look at life like that. And if you look through the lens that life is a problem, you're going to be depressed most of your life. I choose not to look at life through the lens of trouble. I look at life that there is a problem, but I serve a problem solver. There might be an issue, but my God, in whom I serve, has given me faith to overcome whatever life throws at me. And I am like Paul, that I've learned to be content with a lot, and I've learned to be content with little. I know how to have a good time without having everything at my disposal. Now, the truth of the matter is life is filled with mountains. And mountains are fun. Everybody wants mountaintop experiences. But let me just tell you that nothing grows on top of the mountain. On top of the mountain is good to look out and see what God has done. But in order to get some vegetables, you got to come off the mountain. Usually in order to get to water, water's at the bottom of the mountain. And most of us look at our life just on the climb up the mountain instead of the journey. Jesus reminds us in our scripture today that if we have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will have to obey you. And people get all hurt because they say one thing, but it doesn't happen. Now, if you're going to say something, you got to make sure the rest of the book is in line with what you're saying or the rest of your life. Point number one is this. Faith may not always change the outer circumstances of life, but it always changes outlook. I want to say that again. It may not always change the outer circumstances of life, but it always changes the outlook. When you have faith, you don't look at every problem as a mountain. When you have faith, don't point at nobody, but do you know people who think a hangnail is spiritual warfare? Oh, McDonald's got my order wrong, and now it's spiritual warfare. No, baby, that's not spiritual warfare. That's just life. Oh my God, I had to wait. You know, I went to Dunkin' Donuts, I believe it was yesterday or day before or something, I don't know, Monday. And I went to Dunkin' Donuts and I thought, well, my Lord, this line is just moving slow. I got to be somewhere. So I wheeled in and went inside and I think everybody must have called in. Because there was like three workers. And so everybody was huffy and puffy. And I just said, so as I sat there waiting for my coffee and everybody was getting upset, I would just go, hey. It's only three of them back there. Now, it's somebody's fault, but it ain't theirs. They're working. Give them a break. You ought to give them a good tip when you leave. Matter of fact, tip them double for me. You understand what I'm saying? But we've got to understand that faith changes the outlook even though it doesn't change the circumstances. The Bible said in Hebrews 11 and 1, faith is the assurance or the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I like what one translation said. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen yet. And frankly, that makes a difference. I was fortunate to be at a conference yesterday in Atlanta. I had to go up to Atlanta on Monday and Tuesday, and I was in a conference with the top 200 churches of the Church of God, and we're in that top 200. I thought that was kind of cool. So they invited me to be up there, and they talked on mental health. And as they talked about mental health, I thought, oh my God, this whole conference is on me. They're trying to diagnose me and get something together how to deal with me. That's what it's about. But I love what one guy said, who was a doctor, who is a therapist, but also a pastor. He was on the panel, and we began to talk about mental health and mental health in the church and mental health on the elders board, and we decided that most elders board don't have any good mental health. But anyway, except for ours. But here's what he said. He said, you've got to realize that we're not therapists, or he said, most of you are not therapists. I am. He's a licensed therapist. He said, we're not therapists, but what we are is hope dealers. And the best thing that we can do on any given time when we get the pulpit is give people hope. And I went, yeah, baby, come on. Now I can be a hope dealer. I can't psychoanalyze you and go all back into that I was potty trained too early. I wasn't hugged enough. And I can't go all back there. But what I can tell you is that there's a better day. What I can tell you is where you are is not where you got to end up. What I can tell you that there is life after tragedy. I can tell you that this mountain doesn't have to defeat you. You can speak to the mountain, and your faith declares that the mountain is not that big once you get up on it with your faith in God. See, it's not always what's on the outside that matters, but what's on the inside looking out that really makes the difference. What do you see when you're looking out? It is your outlook. And your outlook, and I apologize for the writing, because you barely can see it. I mean, I'm this close and I barely can see it, so I didn't check it on that. But anyway, the outlook of where you are determines whether you feel like you can make it or not. Your attitude affects your altitude, and anybody can tell, any pilot will tell you that. But a boat can go through the roughest storm as long as the storm doesn't get inside the boat. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how high the waves are until the waves start coming inside the boat. Anybody ever been out on some rough seas? I mean, we was out there one 4th of July out in the Gulf, and I've got a hurricane boat, and so it can only take about 2-foot seas. And the next thing we know, before we knew it, this storm had come up, and it started raining cats and dogs, man. And matter of fact, we got a little canopy over our boat, and they were huddled under it. And then they got the tube that we were pulling people and put it in front of them, and the rain was hitting me in the eyes, and couldn't see. I finally got on a snorkel mask and put it on so I could see without it hitting me. And somebody said, hey, Ronnie, are we going to be okay? I said, as long as the boat don't fill up with water, yes. And I have a bilge pump that's working. And if it doesn't work, I'm going to talk to Justin about this, because he installed it. And what I'm saying is it was pumping it out as fast as it was coming in, and we were fine. We were slow. The storm was rocking us. The rain was hitting us. It was pelting us, but we were okay. And I wasn't afraid that we were going to sink. I was a little afraid we might get struck by lightning, but I wasn't afraid that we were going to sink because I knew that that my bilge pump was working. I knew that the rain was coming in, but the water that was coming in was not going to stay there. I've come by to tell somebody the things that are coming into your life doesn't have to stay there. You know Jesus Christ. He is the greatest, ultimate bilge pump, and He can pump the mess out of your life as fast as it comes in, but you've got to have a great outlook. Faith can change your outlook. And if your outlook has been changed, it doesn't matter what's on the horizon. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul, dealing with his own imminent death, here's what he said: we walk by faith and not by sight. You ever thought sometimes, man, I wished I was blind. I wouldn't be able to see what's going on around me. Because what you see affects more than what you know and what you hear. So you got to see through the lens. I'm about to get on Sunday sermon. You got to see through the lens of the Holy Spirit. You got to see through the lens of faith. Faith changes your outlook. Faith can move mountains because faith transforms your outlook on life, and it doesn't matter what's on your horizon. Point number two is this. Faith can move mountains because faith enlarges the possibilities of life. Faith can move mountains because it enlarges the possibilities of life. See, some of us are living a life less than what God wants you to live. Now, here's the problem, though. When a preacher preaches like this, people go, yeah, that's right. I ought to be living better than what I'm living now. And then you start blaming people and things why you're not living there. And most of the time, it is on you. It is on you. And many times it's on us. And please don't be offended. There'll be other times. But it's because of the dumb decisions that we make. And we blame it on God. Well, God, I'm going to do this. I hope you bless it. God is at no obligation to bless what you do. My Lord. Hey, Pastor, I went out and overcommitted myself. Can you help me? No. Are you listening to me? Pastor, I went out and got 4 loans. Do you think you could pay one of them? Why should I pay one of them? Am I going to get, you know? Listen, if you're looking to do that, my daughter just bought a new car. And I would love for somebody else to pay that for her. Can you believe, even as her father, she's not looked to me and go, Dad, could you make this month's payment? I'm not going to do it. Why? Because I didn't buy it. Now, she's my child. I'm about to help somebody. And as long as I see her doing everything that she can, making wise choices, checking with me before she does it, she checks with me before she does it, then I feel more obligated to help her because I gave her the advice. See, that's why y'all want a preacher to tell y'all what to do so y'all can blame him. It didn't work out. That's what he told me to do. Y'all are not trapping me into that. Pastor, what am I supposed to do? Pastor, am I supposed to marry this person? What did the Lord say? Well, I don't know. That's why I'm asking you. Well, in doubt, don't. Unless the Lord speaks, just quit. Just don't. Nope. I'm going to have to hold up, baby, till the Lord speaks. Then don't be using that as a line. Somebody pressuring you, we need to get married. No, let's just leave what the Lord says. I'm waiting for the burning bush. Now, here's what's cool, though. Here's what's cool. God used the burning bush one time. But everybody's looking for a burning bush. If you'll remember, do you remember when the guy brought this blind person to Jesus and the guy says, hey, Jesus, lay your hands on him and pray for him and make so he won't be blind. And Jesus goes, I don't believe I'm going to do it that way this time. And made a mud pie and put it in his eyes. See, God says, you're not, God, you got to recognize that you're not going to put God in a box to do it the way you think he ought to do it every time. I don't know how God's going to do it, but I'm going to listen to him and let him direct my path and let his lamp illuminate my feet. And so, see, that's what God does. God doesn't give you the whole road most of the time. He just gives you one step at a time. And you got to trust him one step at a time. I don't know what am I going to do next? I'm not really sure. But the next thing he says, that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to step until I get to where God wants me to be. See, sometimes Jesus says the same thing in a different way. And in Luke's version of this text, he said this. Here's what he said. If you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to the mulberry tree, be uprooted, planted in the sea, and it would obey you. The imagery here changes a little. We begin to see how faith can create new possibilities that didn't even exist before. How are you going to get through that? I don't know yet. How are you going to get through that? You know, listen, when we, you know, and I know y'all get tired of hearing me build, you get tired of me talking about this building, but I'm telling you, this building almost killed me. And so it's very traumatic to my life. But after a few years of therapy, I'm better now, you know. You know, when we were looking to build this building, somebody who's a friend of mine is getting ready to build, he said, how did you do this? And I said, well, I said, we figured that we could afford the payment. We figured, all right, if we don't grow, because, you know, the Bible says, listen, the Bible says that no man builds a house unless he first counts the cost. So we figured out what the payment could be. What if the payment was this, is that's what we could do. And I don't mind telling you, it was $13,294 a month. That'll make you pucker at night. But we figured through our finances, we could do it, all right? And so, but what I didn't figure is September 8th, or September 29th, 2008, when the stock market crashed. What I didn't realize is that three families that were in our church, that their monthly giving, just the three of those, they were our three biggest givers, their monthly giving was almost $7,500. Well, when the stock market crashed, all of their finances crashed, they wasn't making any money, so they wasn't paying tithes on nothing. Oh, Jesus. Ooh, come on, somebody. Oh, you want to talk about faith? I'm like, oh, God. Lord, I have done figured this out, and now I've got to have faith. I thought I did it right, God. You know, two families moved away, or one family moved away. Other ones, their business went to kaput. One of them went completely out of business, and it was just it was a mess, man. And here it was, I'm counting on what I know. But when you deal with faith, sometimes what you know is not what God has for you. God has something completely different for you. Now, I wish I could tell you that, oh, it'd be good preaching, Pentecostal preaching. Oh, I went to the mailbox. When I went to the mailbox, there was a check in the mailbox. And when I opened up that mailbox, there was a check in the check. But that ain't what happened, man. Every month, I'm like, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we just believe, we believe it. And I'm doing my part. We had a very small staff at the time. I told everybody on staff, don't spend a dollar without it coming through me. Why? Because I'm responsible. All right? So then we made it. Oh, glory to God. Things started, you know, church started growing a little bit more. And so we started getting more people. People started tithing. And so, all right, praise God. And then, you know, and then the opportunity came. Well, or I took the opportunity because of the fact that the interest rates were down. We refinanced the mortgage and took $3,700 a month off the mortgage. Come on, somebody. And like, ooh, hallelujah. Ha! Nobody was shouting bigger than me. But what I'm saying is that faith exploits things that you never knew even existed. And I wonder if I would have refinanced when I did, if the three families hadn't lost what they did. You understand what I'm saying? It forced me to look beyond where I am or my comfort zone and begin to look to God. And now, you know, it's one thing to have faith when you got money in the bank, but it's another thing to have faith when things ain't going your way and you go, I've got to trust God. Good preaching, Pastor. Faith enlarges the possibilities of life. That's what faith does. Faith enlarges the possibilities of life. You begin to look and say, God can do anything. And can I tell you, when you get a couple of wins under your belt, woo, yeah, you get a little cocky. Anybody ever know what I'm talking about? Yeah, man, see, God did it last time. He's going to do it this time. Because you begin to, you see, you look for wins. Look for how God has won. Look for God, how God has brought you through. Well, God didn't do this, but he did that. Well, Pastor, I need to go over there, and all I got was one step. Hey, celebrate the win. Celebrate the one step. Celebrate God, you brought me one step. Because it becomes a momentum. It becomes a faith builder. And you begin to build faith after faith after faith. Faith enlarges the options because faith brings God directly to bear in the situation. Now remember, hope is not a strategy. And I'll go one step further. Faith is not a strategy. I'm just going to step out on faith. No, that's not what Peter did. Peter stepped out on the word of God when Jesus said, come. That's what he stepped out on. Well, I'm going to get out here and just, you know, these guys, well, Pastor, I started a business, but it didn't work. Well, did you have a business plan? No, I'm God's man. Well, all right. Whatever. If I remember my mathematics correctly, when you have an equation and you change one variable in the equation, you change the outcome of the equation. One thing. You know, here's the problem, is we get into trouble and we don't change nothing. Well, Pastor, me and my spouse were having trouble in marriage. All right, what can you change? Nothing. Bull. If you don't change something, you're going to keep having the same result and the same problem. You got to change something. Talk to me, John. You know, people go, well, we don't go to that married life. That's just for people who have bad marriages. You know what I've learned? I've learned that most people who go to married life don't come to me for counseling. You better preach. I believe I will. Why? Because it's called maintenance. It's called maintenance. It's called checkup. I like what one guy said. He had been married for 70 years, and so, I got to tell you this story. A friend of mine just told me this story. One, the youth pastor, they had this big piece of property, and he was the youth pastor there, and his job at night was to go around and make sure there wasn't no hanky-panky going on in the parking lot and all, and make sure everybody's off the campus and all the doors are locked and so forth. So, well, he said he come around the corner one late night on a Friday night. He said, and he looked, and there was a car parked in the back parking lot, and that car was rocking. The windows was fogged up. He said, my God, I got such holy indignation. I can't believe these kids are doing this kind of thing. He got out of there. He walked over there. He said, man, I was getting every scripture I had in my butt. You know, if you're going to do that kind of mess, you better get out of here. You ain't going to do that. He knocked on the door. Just a minute. And window rolled down. And it was one of the elders of the church. 67 years old. He said, can I help you? He said, I'm so sorry. He said, see you later. And rolled the window back up and carried on. So this young youth pastor said, I'm finding that old man because he got to tell me something. So the Sunday morning he found him. He said, you got to tell me after 50 years of marriage or however long it was, how do you keep it so fresh? Here's what the man said. He said, every month I do a checkup. And I ask her, how am I doing? Ooh, he told that story. I said, I am not asking my wife that. But what I'm saying is you know, faith enlarges the possibilities of life, but you got to know where you are. So when God is factored into your life's equation, the outcome has got to change. You want God's grace to move through your trials, right? But you want God's grace to move through the anointing oils and the prayer cloths and the people who pray for you. And you want God's grace to move through any means necessary to bring about an end that God would have in us. But we've got to allow God in that. And that means sometimes doing things that you're not, that you don't normally do. Like a 21 days of prayer and fasting. Faith is not about constricting the possibilities. Faith enlarges the possibilities and creates new possibilities. You know, somebody asked me one day, Pastor, tell me your vision. So I was telling it to them, and I said, but when I let the Holy Spirit take over, the vision blows my mind. Right? Because the faith and the Holy Spirit makes it even bigger and better. Faith enlarges the possibilities. A problem, I love this next one. Make sure you give me this one, Ryan. The problem, give it to me. Come on. Give it to me, baby. A problem is only a problem as long as there is no solution. My God, that's good. A problem is only a problem as long as there is no solution. And I'll tell you, the superintendent of this building taught me that. I would say, what are the problems there? He said, there are no problems, just obstacles. Because every problem has a solution, we just have to find it. And I said, shut up. If there is even a hint of a possibility of a solution, then you don't have the same problem as you once did. You got a problem. This is a problem. I don't see any way around it. Oh. There's a valley. Oh. There's a place so I can put my hand. Oh. There's a foot place. Oh. There's a place I can put my foot in the crevice and I can climb around it. Oh, I didn't see this little slide I could slide through here. Oh, there's some dynamite. Come on, somebody. You know? If you've got God in your life, you'll have problems, but with God in your life, there are always other possibilities. Why? Because God is the author of possibilities. Before creation, there was nothing, but God authored a new possibility and creation came into being. For the Israelites, there was no hope in slavery. But God created a new possibility and Pharaoh had to let God's people go. I mean, if you were to ask anybody, Pharaoh's not going to let us go. We're free labor. But then you add God into the possibility and he creates an avenue in order which Pharaoh not only releases them, but blesses them as he releases them. Jesus could have died on the cross, but God created a new possibility to raise him to new life when he did die on the cross. Faith can move mountains because faith enlarges the possibilities of life. Number three is this. Faith can move mountains because we are connected to the mover of mountains by our faith. Faith can move mountains because we are connected to the mover of mountains by our faith. Well, Pastor, I don't have any faith. Well, faith comes by hearing. Hearing of the Word of God. That doesn't mean just listening to the Word of God. That means hearing. That second hearing is understanding of the Word of God. Because see, that's my mama used to say, mama used to say, you got to get it down in your knower. See, that's the problem. People, can I tell you how people miss heaven usually by 16 to 18 inches? You got it here, but you don't have it here. You know the word, but you don't know the word. You can quote the word, but you can't live the word. You can quote what you need to do, but you can't do it. I can tell you how to lose weight, but you can tell I don't do it. Right? Y'all said amen a little too hard on that one. I just want y'all to know. Going back into therapy after tonight. Have you ever noticed that our God is a mountain God, though? God does some of his best work on the mountaintop. Huh. And we're up on the mountaintop and we don't want to go down, but if you don't go down, you're going to starve. It was on the mountaintop that Isaac was ready to sacrifice, or was ready to be sacrificed, but God saved him. It was the mountaintop that God met Moses on the burning bush. Jesus was transfigured on the mountain and crucified on mountain called Calvary. We serve a mountain God, and God is the God of the mountain. He can make mountains, and he can move mountains. And our faith connects us to the God of the mountain. There's an old southern gospel song that the McCameys used to sing. He's the God of the mountain. He's God in the valley. I don't remember any or more of the song.
God on top of the mountain. He's God in the lion's den.
Amen. You got to recognize that God is not less God because you're by yourself or feel like you're by yourself on the mountain. He's still God. And the same God that brought you out is the same God that's going to bring you in. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on back to the keyboard. When that happens, he can make mountains and move mountains, and our faith connects us to God of the mountain. And when that happens, our lives become part of the greater whole, and the mountains have to move. Did you hear that? Our lives become a part of the greater whole. See, you think that you're just by yourself, but you're connected. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm connected to you. Now, I know we've got a lot of married and couples sitting together. I might not even like you, but I'm connected to you. And that's the truth, man. We're connected. And we always think about, well, all things work together for those who love to working according to my good. It's what most of us quote, but that's not it. The good. But I don't care about the good. I care about my good, and that's your problem. Don't point at nobody, but how many know people who feel like they are the center of the universe? I'm sorry to tell you, you're not. You're not, man. There are other things that are connected to you. So tell your mountain, get out of my way. Quit stopping me from being who God's called me to be. Tell it that you serve a God who owns the cattle of 1,000 hills and the potatoes in those hills. Well, but Pastor, I got trouble getting them cattle in my freezer. Well, I mean, maybe you do. But I'm just telling you that you need to tell your loneliness that the God of comfort says move. You need to tell your frustration that the God of harmony says move. Tell your turmoil that the God of peace says move. Tell your poor health that the God of healing says move. When you need to tell the mountain of your anxiety that the God of the mountain of anxiety says, get thee behind me. You don't control me, for I serve a great and good God. God is good. The devil is bad, and they have not changed places. He's still a good, good God. Tell your mountain, get out of my way. I'm not going to let you stop me from doing, from being, from becoming all that God has for me to become and to do. Come on, stand to your feet tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we get overwhelmed by the stuff that we need fixed. You know, I know y'all don't ever do that, But sometimes you walk into the garage and you're like, I don't even know where to begin. So how I will begin is go back inside. Come on now. I don't even know where to start. So I just won't. I like what one meme said. It says sometimes, and this ain't my wife, but it says, sometimes I feel like cleaning the house, but I lay down and feel better. That is not my wife. My wife keeps an immaculate house. But you understand what I'm trying to say, I hope. Now, I wished it was going to be easy. I wish for you to get out of your funk. For you to get out of your depression. For you to get out of what you're going through. That I'm going to tell you how it's going to go down. I'm going to lay a hand on you tonight. When our hand comes off of your head, you're going to be healed and you're never going to have another. That's just not biblical. Because there's something that you got to do. You might let somebody pray for you and get a temporary relief. But if you want true to walk in what God wants you to have, you've got to have a relationship with Him infusing you with power from on high on a daily basis, man. And I refuse to live a life less than what God said I could live. That's why I refuse to let people in the club have a better time at their church service than we do in our church services. Well, Pastor, we ain't got no liquor. Yes, we do. It's called the Holy Ghost. It'll get you drunker than Cooter Brown. Holy Spirit of God. Every head bowed and every eye closed. You're in this place tonight and you would say, Preacher, Pastor, man, there's some mountains in my life that I need to tell move. Remember me in prayer. Come on, lift your hand. Hands all over this building. Hands all over this building. Probably the ones that didn't raise your hand, your mountain is lying. Hallelujah, Spirit of God. Here's what I want us to do tonight. I know we could call everybody to the front, but that's not what I feel like doing. And if you know the person next to you, I don't want you to lay hands on somebody you don't know because they might not want you to. Listen to me. Look at me for a minute. I'm very cautious who I let lay hands on me. I don't want just anybody laying hands on me. So if you don't know that person, don't be laying your hand on them. Don't be laying your hand just because they're pretty. Yes, Jesus. No, man. But if you feel so inclined, if you know that person, would you just put a hand on them? And I want you to pray over them. Well, Pastor, wait a minute. What about my? No, what you make happen for somebody else, God will make happen for you. God, I pray in the name of Jesus. Come on, just pray over them. Father, in the name of Jesus. Pastor, I don't know how to pray. Just talk to God about it. Lord, let them move the mountain in their life. Help their faith. Lord, build them up in their most holy faith. God, help them change their outlook. Doesn't matter what the circumstances say. I declare the outlook is going to be better. And we're going to change one element in this equation, and the outcome is going to be different than it was last time. In the name of Jesus, I'm not going to live a dilapidated life. I'm going to enjoy life because you said I could. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, God, move in their life.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.